What's up, everyone? Good morning, afternoon, evening, night, whatever it is where you are. My name is Dwight, and this is the Feel Seekers podcast. So I've had on my mind starting a podcast. I've had the idea for a long time, probably since about 2020. And I've even told people, like, hey, I'm going to interview you. Would you be down? And all of the people that I asked are like, yeah, that would be amazing. I'm like, I just want to talk about the creative process and kind of what your process is like. And maybe someone can benefit from hearing your process and the things that are meaningful to you. Because I feel like indie artists, and not just independent artists, but like creatives in general, are often overlooked because they don't have thousands of people streaming their music. I feel like there's always an untold story outside of the narrative, and the narrative is what we run with. You know, this is your single for the album, and that's what all that we know and we focus on, but there's so much underneath that's the whole point of the album. That's what the I guess you would say the fundamentals of the album are in that. So yeah, that's kind of just an idea that I've had for a while. And last night I was driving and I started thinking about, for the people who read the Bible, I started thinking about hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. And I just started thinking about how, like, I've sat on this idea for so long, and it can kind of make you a little bit sick in your heart when you have these ideas and you never pursue them. So this is me kind of stepping out and trying something. Really, that's a part of the creative process, is doing things that fuel that creativity and that life inside of you. So it's super, super cool. I'm excited. I don't even have an intro. I don't even know how to upload a podcast yet, but, you know, here we are. It's just taking that step. And that's been the biggest thing for me, is always overthinking the creative process and trying to make it what it's not. I didn't used to be like that, but I definitely have fallen into a pattern of like having to soup up the creative process. And instead of it just being raw and organic, that's when it's the best. It's the essence of creativity, is just being in that state of flow. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about my musical history, I guess you would say, as this is an intro podcast, so that you can kind of understand where I'm coming from. I grew up in Charleston, West Virginia, super country there. Some would call us hillbillies. And you can hear by my accent, which I didn't really know that I had until I met my wife, and she's like, you're super country. So yeah, I'll take that. But from Charleston, West Virginia, there's not really a music scene there. Country is really big, obviously. And then whatever's on the radio, whatever is on the internet, whatever's super, super popular, that's what you're going to hear there. But, you know, there are these pockets of people who really enjoy like crate digging, and they enjoy like these super deep finds, you know. So that is it's a small town, so, you know, anyone who's from like a smaller town can relate. And music has always been around. My dad was a singer. He sung at a lot of weddings, and he from time to time would, you know, record songs with his friends. I remember being really young and going over to their studio, which was like his friend's living rooms with the little mixer and recording. It was those are my earliest memories of like seeing the creation and the instrumentation of music. And I was really shy as a kid, so I would never let anyone know that I would love to do this one day. But I just remember admiring my dad and his friends making music, you know, whether it's like they come up with a chord progression, and the excitement of it was really cool. And I, you know, those are kind of the foundation of creativity, which I didn't see those until way later in my life. But obviously, every family function, every family reunion, it was, we gathered around music. We had, obviously, the Gap Band. We had Earth, Wind & Fire, you know, from the 60s all the way to the 80s. Music was pumping. And then, you know, obviously, like, the 90s is you know, I was born in 93, so there was a lot of the 90s influence on me, too. So I grew up with music all around me, and I never tried to pursue being a creative, like, an artist until probably through high school. I started rapping, and it was weird because I went through this space of just finding faith and things like that. So I got super religious when I started. So it was kind of like the whole, like, Bible thumping rap type thing when I started. Not immediately when I started, but, you know, I first started rapping in the hallway, like writing in the journal and spitting, and, you know, but towards the end of high school, like senior year, I started trying to take music seriously. And I was in that evolution of, you know, finding my faith and stuff like that. I was just young. But once I, you know, graduated, went to college, I went to a school where people were going to school for becoming a musician, more geared towards church, but like, they were training musicians and like psalmists and things like that. So I was around a lot of talented people. So I picked up the piano and learned how to pluck. Actually, one of the first songs I learned was like Ordinary People by John Legend or Common Kings Fly. I can't remember which one, but one of those was like the first song I ever played. So, but it, going to school and being around so many brilliant minds who grew up in, you know, playing gospel music in their church. Obviously, you know, gospel musicians are like bar none. They know the feeling and they know the theory, and they're just different animals. So that was a huge influence, and that really threw me. I grew up on D'Angelo. My mom and my stepdad, they listened to a lot of D'Angelo, a lot of slower soul, deep cuts, and Sade, like, that was really, really influential for me growing up. My dad was more Mint Condition and New Jack Swing, Bobby Brown. So I really got the best of both worlds. And in a song, I said something like, when your daddy loved the tempo and your mama loved the bass. And that was kind of my upbringing with that. But when I got to school, I already had that foundation of soul and hearing the gospel part, because I didn't necessarily grow up listening to gospel music like that. It was around, but I didn't grow up in like a church where, you know, you would hear that. So I really gravitated to it, and the feeling it could give you, the soul, the blues, all of that. It was really cool. So that was kind of my experience in college, and I just kept experimenting, and then it evolved into, I found like James Blake and electronic music, and that rocked my world. There's always this new discovery and keeping it pure and evolving and trying new things. That's always been the basis of creativity for me. So, and then, you know, fast forward to, I ended up going, while I was in Columbus, Ohio, did a partnership with a label and had an amazing time there. And when it was time for me to, like, the kind of contract was up, it wasn't like a record deal, it was just a partnership. Learned a lot of things. Shout out to Slingshot and Yav. I always appreciate him for seeing something in me, because I listened to his music, you know, for a long time before ever sending him something. And he was like, dude, like, we have to do something together. Like, would you ever think about doing a partnership with Slingshot? And I'm like, heck yeah. So that was really fun. And I loved that time and space to be able to, you know, like, really get involved in the music industry scene, you know, at the time. So later on, I felt like it was just time for a change. I had went through a huge loss in my life, which you probably have heard it in the music. I moved south and started a whole new life, it felt like. And I did normal things for a long time. I worked an asphalt job. I worked in an upholstery shop. I did landscaping. And I didn't do a lot of music. And I kind of, it purified my creative process. It was like a reset. So I've obviously, you know, continued to create, but now I'm in a completely different space, and you'll hear about it through the episodes. I'm not going to try to box it all up into one, but the idea and the basis for Feel Seekers is the feels, and it is a play in words kind of based off of Thrill Seekers. And I just had the idea before. I'm like, music, when you truly love music and it's your passion, it's like you're constantly chasing this feeling. You're constantly chasing just that change in brain chemicals, that new space, that new dimension. You're always chasing that. And not necessarily in a negative. It's kind of like playing hide and seek with frequency. And you're like, you're going back and forth. And I mean, I live for that. And it's what I feel like I was kind of put on earth for. I love creating and finding new things that challenge you. And I feel like Feel Seekers is going to be a place for creatives who are not super geared towards the machine of radio and trying to produce a radio hit. And I think all of that's beautiful, and everyone wants those things, but it can't be the basis of why you create. Creativity in its purest form is like this raw passion for discovery and seeing new places dimensionally, you know, being able to feel like you're time traveling. So, and obviously creativity intertwines with a lot of people's spiritual journey, whether that's whatever religion or faith. And I love discovering and listening to people and seeing what they're seeing and hearing, like what they're feeling throughout life and throughout their journey. And what are some ideas and concepts that have really become pinnacle for them in their process? What has supplied life to them? And that's kind of the basis of what I want to go over and be talking about. It's really just, it's not super deep. It's just basic conversations about music, art, creativity. Honestly, creativity to me is anything too. I mean, if you're a plumber or if you are a landscaper, those things are creative too. And everyone does things differently. That's kind of what it talks about in the Bible, do everything unto the Lord. Everybody has their own edge. And when they do something and they're inspired, anything can turn into creativity or be creativity and be creative. We're creative beings. So, you know, if you're not an artist, that doesn't mean that you're not a creative. There's so many different ways to create. But let's see. I had some like notes of things that I wanted to like, some quotes that have come to me throughout the week, and I kind of wanted to throw those out there on the video. But I know that ultimately this is just kind of an intro, so I don't really want to get in too deep, just something brief. But there are some quotes that have kind of come to me this week that I thought were like monumental for why I'm even doing this. So I thought I would read them. One of the things that like came to my brain this week was when dealing with this frustration of I can't see the whole picture, so I'm not even going to start. Basically, I wrote, the reason you can't see it is because it doesn't exist yet. And you're frustrated about having a sense of control. And it's like, just trust God. I know some people believe in the universe and nature and whatnot. If God says that he will weave all things together for your good, then why are you sitting there saying, I'm just going to take my time. I'll do it later. it's control at the end of the day. You have to let go of that control and take that step. And that's the whole point of walking on faith. If you have this impulse and this idea, just follow it. It'll lead you to something beautiful. And the thing is too, you're struggling over like right and wrong when it comes to creative expression and ideas and taking a step of faith, when there really is no such thing. Those are like kind of made up ideas. If you feel in your heart like this is giving me life, I want to do this, just take that step. And once you take that step, he's going to weave that together. And the thing is, even the mistakes that we make, they all end up supporting the greater good of our creative journey. So you can't really use that excuse like, oh, I just don't know if it's right yet. I just don't know. You'll be doing that forever. And that's where you end up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years instead of just taking a 7-day journey into the promised land. For people who are familiar with that passage in the Bible, it's like you get stuck with this negative perspective of the process. And the whole process is supposed to be brief. You're supposed to go straight into the promised land, but you don't have the right lens. You're constantly overthinking everything. You're negative, you're critical over yourself, you're critical over others. And honestly, as a creative, once you stop being critical in general, it's so much easier. If you're being critical over other people too, it's a guarantee you're critical over yourself. That's where it comes from. You're just projecting. But once you lose those mentalities, you're able to just create. Like, just take the step. Just throw paint on the wall. Who cares? Another thing I thought about this week, which was really cool, is it's important to see yourself in your element. The way that you, like the more that you see yourself as your higher self or your true self, the more you'll see yourself that way. And if that makes sense. So like, let's say I have a friend, let's say Jim Bob. I see Jim Bob every day for 2 years. I feel like I know him. It's similar with yourself. If you see yourself like letting yourself down, let me finish the quote. So like an example, if you consistently see yourself living in joy, peace, and harmony, that's who you subconsciously will behave like, because that's who you think you are. So back to the story. If I see a person for 2 years, I feel like I know them. These are their characteristics. These are their traits. That's kind of subconsciously how you are with yourself. You know, if I see myself like letting myself down, never following my path of creativity, never pursuing my ideas because I'm not valuing them, subconsciously that lives back here, and that's how I behave. Like, I'm a creative, but I never do what I say. You don't feel like you're dependable. You don't have a bond with yourself to where you trust the art that you create and put out. You know, that could keep you stuck as well. And that's just kind of the process that I've been in lately, is cracking out of that shell of, basically, sometimes I feel like we can overthink, and in the process of overthinking, we'll try to beautify that process of overthinking and make it deep. Like, I'm just super passionate. I care about the detail. And I do believe that for some people, but for some people, it's that you never think that it's good enough, and you're constantly striving to make it good enough rather than just put it out. And a lot of times it's attached to self-worth. So it's like, you just have to realize your creativity and you're worthy of it. And it's like, just create, my guy. But I didn't want to say too much during this episode. So I have big plans to have, you know, people on the podcast and sit and talk about creativity. I'm not used to sitting and talking to a camera. So this will be a fun experiment, and I'm excited to watch myself grow. I'm learning to give myself grace for starting something new. It's always a challenge. A funny story is, like, I just got this espresso machine, and anyone who has an espresso machine and or has ever been a barista or knows about coffee, I'm sure you understand how difficult it is to dial in making a simple latte. So that process, I was frustrated during I threw away like 10 cups of coffee trying to, you know, get it down, and I was YouTube and everything, and I'm like, man, you know, you expect to just be good at something, but like instant, and that's not how it goes. It's a part of the process, and you have to enjoy it. That's the whole point, is enjoying the process. So yeah, I think that that's probably all I'm going to go over. Like I said, I wanted to keep this kind of brief. And I actually think my son is waking up. So, you know, I got the baby monitor on deck. I don't feel like you're doing anything unless you've done a podcast with the baby monitor. So I think my time is up. But look forward to more episodes. And I don't know if you subscribe or whatever you're supposed to do. I just wanted to make this, and then I'll figure out how to share it later. So I hope y'all are tapped in. I'm working on an album. I'll talk about that next episode, but hang in there. And if you made it this far, I appreciate you making it this far. So you really rock with me. Head for the hills.